Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. 1 John chapter 2, we're working our way through this passage, and so we're going to start reading in verse number 18 and read down to the end of the chapter. We'll just get a couple of verses into it. But let's pick it up in verse 18 of 1 John 2. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one which doeth righteousness is born of him. And we'll stop reading there. There's no doubt in my mind that we live in a world that is full of voices. There are a lot of people that are speaking into us on a regular basis, and especially in this media overloaded society. We have all sorts of noise, all sorts of voices that are speaking into us, whether it's social media or podcasts or news media or whatever it might be. There are so many different platforms that are speaking into our lives, and more so really than any time in history, we have so many voices speaking to us from so many different directions. And some of those voices are true, and some of those voices are false, right? We see that all the time. In fact, I was just in the car a little while ago, and I turned on the radio station, the news, and they were talking about the difference between misinformation and disinformation. And I didn't leave it on long enough to know the difference. But anyways, they're saying that there's all sorts of false news out there. There's all sorts of true things being said, all sorts of false said things being said. So some are good and some are dangerous, but the reality is this: with all of these voices that are speaking into us, the ones that we listen to are really shaping what we believe. Right? And there's some good in that, but there's also some danger. Well, let me ask you this. You can help me with this right off the bat this evening as we think of that. Just think about all the voices that you hear, okay? Whether it's social media, news media, podcasts, whatever you listen to, all these voices speaking into you. What is good about that, having all those voices in our society, and what is dangerous about that? So why don't we start with the good? So what is good to you about hearing all these different voices speaking into us from all these different directions? What can be good about that? Okay, so you're always hearing something new. Sure, so there's that potential for growth because you're learning new things.
I think there's humility and discernment. Like, if you realize that your view is not the only view, that there's broad views, and
yes,
there's a range of useful and between smart and stupid. Like, there's some, like, and so you learn discernment and you learn grace.
Sure. Yeah, and I think in that sense, it encourages critical thinking and helps us to think sometimes outside of our echo chambers, like hearing something that we might not necessarily agree with, but challenges us, sure. Any other ideas? I just thought of a few things, that was some of them. It's always good to hear different perspectives rather than just getting one. You know, the adage is there's always two sides to the story, and sometimes we only see one side, and it's good to hear different sides. There's increased awareness of things that are going on. There's opportunity for learning and growth as you listen to all these voices. There's that that challenges you, causes you to think critically. So there's all of those good things that are come with all these different voices that are speaking into us. Now, what about the other side? What is dangerous about hearing all those voices?
Voting for leftists.
Voting for leftists? That's dangerous. Sure, why not? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so there's a possibility that you could be deceived because something sounds good, it sounds right. Sure, yeah, if you spend too much time listening to all these different voices, then it can really take your time, yeah? Right. Right. So they're kind of guiding you, steering you in that direction. Yeah, absolutely. It used to be many, many years ago that the only news you knew about was what was happening right in your local community. But now you turn it on and it's like, this is world news and this is happening over here. This is, and you don't really have any idea what's going on over there. Your opinion of that is shaped by whatever they tell you is going on. So whatever news source, whatever, you know, podcast, whatever you listen to. So there's all sorts of good things. There's all sorts of negative things that come with all of these voices. I think too many voices can be confusing. It can be overwhelming. You can have anxiety and fear over things that you have no control over. There's manipulation and misinformation and all of those things. So what is the key? You think about those good things and those negative things that come with all these voices. What is the key in all of that? We can't necessarily turn off all the voices. We're going to hear things and listen to them, though I think sometimes it is good to turn off the voices and not listen to all of those things. But I think the key to all of that is discernment. It's learning to think critically, learning to filter the things that we hear and stay grounded in the truth that we know and filter it by that truth, specifically the truth of the Word of God. So everything needs to be filtered by that and thought critically of that way. And I think that's what John is addressing really in this chapter, verse 18 down to the end of this chapter. How do we know what is true and what is deception? What is truth and what is error? How can we be discerning when it comes to those things? Remember, part of the reason that John is writing this book is to equip the believers with the truth and to help them counter the false teaching of the Gnostics who taught that truth is subjective and it's available to a limited few. And John is rejecting that and refuting that. They thought that they had this higher knowledge than everybody else. John is refuting that in these verses, and in so doing, I think he's helping us be discerning in the voices that we listen to. So just a couple things tonight. First of all, is the danger of deception. The danger of deception. And really, I had planned on going through 3 points. We're just going to get in this one, I think. We'll see what kind of time we have when we're all done. But I think we'll probably just get through this one. But John is just... You remember last week, he just finished encouraging us not to get caught up in the things of this world. Don't love the things of this world. What is it of the world? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those sort of things. That love of the system of the world, the things that the world values and cherishes. He said, you can't love those things and the Father at the same time. Those things are going to pull you away from the Father. And I think... that this whole chapter is really moving towards abiding in Christ. That's what's at the end part. We read it just a little while ago, talking about abiding in Christ. And John is, I think what he's doing here is teaching us that before we can abide in Christ, there's some things that we need to recognize that are pulling us away from that abiding relationship. There are things that are pulling us away from Him and that abiding in Him. And really, I think there's two things here that he mentions that pull us away from that relationship, from abiding in Christ. We looked at one last week, verses 15 and 17. That's the temptation of the world, the world's temptations, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those things are things that pull us, they call to us, they draw us away from Him. And then here in verse 18 to verse 27, which we'll look at over the next couple of weeks, there's this idea of false teachers that can pull us away. So there's worldliness, and then there's these voices that are speaking false things, false teachers. Both worldliness and false doctrine are tools that the enemy uses to separate people from God. And we have to be aware of both of those things. So John starts in verse 18. He says, "Little children." Again, this is John's way of writing to the believers. He refers to them quite often as little children. Paideon is the word, young ones. He's speaking to his children in the faith. You can see his pastoral heart as he says that, his care for them. So he says, little children. What does he say? He says, it is the last time. And then at the end of that verse, he says, whereby we know that it is the last time. I'll just give you the words that he uses here are eschate, ora, estin. And if we break that down, eschate, we get our word eschatology from that. It is the end times, the last things. And then hora, or which we would translate as our. And then estin, which is it is. So he's saying it in that thought, it is the last time. And that word time, hora, that he uses there is not necessarily hour as in a 60-minute period of time, although it can be that, but it's more a season, a period of time. So it is the last season, the last hour, the last period of time. So John is saying, we are in the last hour. Children, I want you to understand, we are in the last hour, the last time. So you might be thinking, wait, John wrote this like 2,000 years ago. So what does John mean when he says we are in the last hour? Because it's been a long time since then. It's been thousands of years. How could he say he was in the last hour? I think a couple of things. Number one, I think that John and the early church lived in the constant expectancy of the return of Christ. They believed that his return was imminent, and they were looking for it. So just like we are today, looking for the imminent return of Christ, they were looking for the same thing, the second coming. They were looking for Christ to return. And so they were looking for that. So in that sense, it was the last hour because they didn't know when he was coming. They assumed it could be at any time. So this is the last hour. But I think even more than that, I think John is referring to this period of time between Christ's first coming and his second coming as the last hour. It wasn't necessarily that he expected Jesus to return within a few literal hours, although he could have. They were looking for his imminent return. But that he and the church were living in the final era of God's redemptive plan. Christ promised that he was going to return, and they were looking for that return. They were anticipating that return. Now go back to verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. How did John know he was in the last hour? What does he say? Yeah, he says right there, you've heard that the Antichrist shall come, and now there's many Antichrists. We see that spirit of Antichrist already, which tells us that we are in the last hour. Now turn really quickly to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. I was going to say we'll get into this in a few weeks, but it's like three chapters away, so we might get into it in a few months. I don't know. We'll see when we get there. But Jesus is speaking here of some signs of the end of the age, and the disciples say they have questions about this, but Jesus says to them in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." All right, so these ones are going to come in and claim to be Christ and deceive others. It says in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Down in verse 24, he says this, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if they were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Jesus says that these false teachers are going to come. Now, there is going to be an Antichrist. John says this is not the Antichrist, but these are Antichrist. The word, the idea of that Antichrist is it's really what it means. Antichrist is one who puts himself in opposition to, or in the place of even, or the opponent of Christ, the Messiah. So these false teachers, these antichrists, are deceivers who deny the very true nature of Jesus Christ. And John says they're here. We see that already all around us. The reality is this. This is what John is making us aware of, that we are in a spiritual war, and one of the great dangers of that spiritual war is deception. The world wants to pull us away from Christ, and these false teachers want to pull us. Deception is trying to pull us away from Christ. These antichrists are those who oppose Christ, whether through false doctrine or rebellion or a counterfeit Christianity. They are deceivers. They deceive believers. Now notice what he says about these antichrists in verse 19. I think I might have it up here. I'll put it up there if you don't have your Bible. But it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." By the way, just look at your Bible there. Do you have your Bible open? Look at verse 19. What do you notice about the words "no doubt" and "they went out"? All right, so they're italicized. And what does that mean? All right, so these aren't in the original. These are words that the translators added in, and often the translators, as they translated, would add in to clarify the passage or make the reading clear. So sometimes there were words that they would put in to help with the reading. That one, "no doubt," especially, I'm not sure if that really helps or strengthens, but the New King James says it this way: "If they had been of us, they would have continued with us." So it takes the "no doubt" out. So the translators added that word in. And I say that just to say this, that even without those words, "no doubt," that meaning is already implied there in the Greek. That they, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. The idea is a forceful one there. The thought is this: they were of us, they were with us, but they were not of us. So I think John is pointing out these false teachers, these deceivers, some of these people appeared to be believers, but they went out. They left the faith, proving that they were never part of Christ's body. Because if they were, John says, if they were really of us, they would have remained with us. They would have stayed with us. But they didn't, showing that they were never believers. They made professions of faith that were not genuine. They were not of us. And I think the warning here is this, that not everyone who claims to be a Christian truly belongs to Christ. He says these ones don't belong. They were not, if they were of us, then they would have stayed with us. But they went out, showing that they were not of us. So then that leads me to this question. Maybe we'll finish up with this, just going through a few different things here. How do we recognize false teachers? How do we recognize those that might deceive us? Right? Because John is teaching us here in this passage, and we won't get to it all tonight, as I said, but we'll finish up with this thought. He's teaching us to be discerning. And the foundational question is this: what, with these teachers, what do they do with Jesus? Yeah.
I think they're addressing Judaizers specifically. Because of the next passage where it talks about the Father and the Son, and he says, look, they denied the Father and the Son because they denied the Son, and whoever denies the Son also denies the Father.
Right.
I think it's very specific to the Jews. Right? So the Gentiles, they wouldn't care about both. But the Jews very specifically want the Father without the Son.
Sure.
So it's a very narrow kind of view of what the opponents are. And so I think he's warning them very specifically, don't listen to Jews who claim to think that being Jewish is enough. That's a false teaching.
Sure.
You actually need Christ. And so I think when he's talking about that they went out from us, the us is very specifically not just all believers, but John's teaching group. And so he's warning them, look, there were people who started out with us as John's.
Right. So what do they teach? And specifically, what do they teach about Jesus? That, I mean, that's because he goes on to say that who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? So that these are the ones that you need to watch out for, these ones, these false teachers that deny that Jesus is the Christ. Right. So going back to that question, then how do we discern these false teachers? What do we do with them? So I want to look up just a few verses as we go through here, and I'll get your help. Maybe I'll get some people who will read some verses, and we'll look at some things that the Bible teaches us about discerning false teachers and how we can discern them and what to do with them. So let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. We'll get that. I've got a bunch of verses. Okay, Brent, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. What about Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9? Amanda? 2 Peter 3:16. Jake? Acts 20:27. You're going to have to remember. I'll help you out with it. Thelma, Acts 20:27. Colossians 2:8. Esther? Let's see. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Anyone want to get that for me? Maybe we'll take a break and then we'll do some more in just a little bit. And we'll read what we have, and then if you want to read some more. All right, so I have no idea who I gave verses to. I'll try to remember, but we started with 2 Corinthians 11, 4. I think that was you, Brent. 2 Corinthians 11, 4. All right, so as we think about that, what is a characteristic, what is a way that we can discern a false teacher according to that? All right, so they preach I guess the overall heading here is they distort the gospel, right? So they're preaching a different Jesus, they're preaching another gospel, they're preaching a different version of Jesus that contradicts Scripture. And this is one, John talks about this later on in this chapter. He talks about it in chapter 4, about these ones that preach a different Jesus, to avoid these ones. All right, what about Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9? All right, so what do these false teachers do? Same thing, right? They preach another gospel. They preach a gospel that is corrupted. It's distorted. Maybe they add works to grace, or preach a message on self-improvement rather than trusting Christ. They're preaching another Jesus, another gospel. So they take the gospel and they distort it. That's the very first thing. All right, secondly, they twist Scripture. So who had 2 Peter 3:16? All right, so what do they do there? They take Scripture and they change it. They twist it. They make it say, and there's a lot of people that you can listen to that take a verse here and they take a verse there and they make it say whatever they want it to say. It's like, have you ever heard that about the guy who said, I'm just going to open up my Bible wherever it lands and wherever I read, that's what God wants me to do. Have you heard that before? So he opened it up, and he put his finger down, and he said, and Judas went and hung himself. He said, well, that wasn't right, so he changed it. He said, I'm going to try it again. So he opened it, he changed it, he put his finger down, and he looked, and he said, go and do thou likewise. So you can take Scripture, and you can twist it to say anything you want. That's what these false teachers, I mean, not that way, but they take Scripture, and yet you see this so often, they twist it. They make it say whatever they want it to say to fit their agenda or what they're trying to preach. I think there's another one here, Acts 20:27. Right, so Paul preached the whole council, and the idea there is there are some that don't preach the whole council. They preach what is convenient, what is easy, what is less difficult or convicting, right? They omit some things and preach other things. Paul said, no, I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to take it and twist it, all right? Couple more. We'll go through these quickly. They lead people away from Christ. Who had Colossians 2, verse 8? Right, so those false teachers are mixing Christianity with human tradition and human philosophy and kind of putting those two together. They're elevating worldly wisdom over God's truth. They're preaching a self-centered message that teaches prosperity or success or personal fulfillment rather than repentance and holiness and those things. So they're leading people away from Christ. And we see many false teachers doing that, even in this day and age. Fourthly, they exhibit corrupt or unfruitful behavior. Did we get to 2 Peter? Did you say that? So just hold on for a second. I think we stopped there. You got 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Who'll get 1 John 4, 1 through 3? Brent? Yeah, we might have to use some people twice here. That's okay. A few different verses. Let's do one more. 1 Corinthians 14:33. All right, Brad, thank you. All right, so let's go to 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thank you. So their character is clearly seen in those verses. It's greed and exploitation, right? They exploit them. They seek money and fame and power instead of truly serving God. And we see that again often. What about 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3? Right, so their teaching promotes or causes division, fear, and uncertainty rather than leading to peace and truth. So they exhibit this kind of corrupt and unfruitful behavior, and then just quickly they lead people into sin and confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Right, so there's a number of verses we could go to. Just for sake of time, I was going to turn to Jude 4 and spend some time there. But these ones justify sin rather than repentance. They cause division. All of these things, these false teachers are leading people into sin and confusion. They are prideful, divisive, unloving people, and we need to mark these ones. And we see this often. Mark these false teachers and avoid them. And so John is telling us of them here, and we'll get into that. It's funny that I was even going to try to get into 3 points here tonight because we're not even close. I've already gone over time and I'm still on point one. So we'll get into that next week. But how do we guard against false teachers? Maybe we'll finish with that. As we think about this, how do we guard against false teachers? So we're hearing all these voices. Some are true, some are false. How do we guard against that and make sure that we're listening to truth? Yes, Steph. Okay, yeah, so be immersed in the truth and know the truth. So when you know the truth, everything else you hear that's not truth is obvious, right? Amanda? Yep, so I think I actually had that in there. Be like the Bereans. Go home and search the scriptures and see if these things are true. Yes. Right. You can see a lot by where it ends up and where they're going and where those that are following them are going with it. Sure. Yes. So learn how to properly interpret scripture within its historical context and grammatical context and all of those things. It's part of our hermeneutics, yeah. Yeah, so I think the key there to all of those things is to know the truth, to know the scripture, to spend time with it, to see where other people are going in their teaching, where the end of it is. And I think it also helps staying, and again, I'm kind of preaching to the crowd on this, but being in a Bible-believing community where other people are helping and encouraging and speaking truth and being accountable to other believers for the things that you're hearing. And then praying for discernment. I believe the Lord gives discernment to those that ask for it. So we hear all of, and the point is we hear all of these voices. We need to be careful about discerning which ones we're listening to, who's speaking to us, and be like the Bereans and go home and search the scripture and see if these things are true. We'll leave that there. We'll pick it up again with point number two next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His Word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.